Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
As I was watching this game.
Oh, yes. You knew it.
That you would be chomping at the bit. That you would be so excited. That you would run head first. No thought to it. No rhyme or reason. Just forget all logic. You would run head first into being a prisoner of the moment. And I am talking about the New Orleans Saints outlasting the Cowboys from Dallas 12-10 on Sunday Night Football. Oh, I'm not even going to spoil your fun. Go ahead and say what you want to say, and then I'll rebut it with the facts. But go ahead.
I told you so. How about that? I told you so. You were ready to put Dak Prescott on some pedestal. Oh, he's an elite quarterback. Look what he's done the first 3 weeks against nobody. He was playing the Harlem, the Washington Generals.
Get it right.
The Washington Generals of the NFL. I'm kidding. Not getting it right. That's who he played. And finally, he played a good team that has a good defense. And he wilted once they stopped the running game. That's the problem with Dak. That's why the 55 executives in that Bleacher, the Athletic report, said he's a third-tier quarterback. He can't win the game when it's all about him. They said, you know what the Saints said? We dare you. Throw the damn ball, Dak. We dare you. We'll stop the run. Eight guys in the box. Ezekiel Elliott couldn't go anywhere. He needed bus fare to get to the 10-yard line. He couldn't get...
And it's sad you only got the one, because I know you spent all... You
I was working on that. You know I did. I came prepared with that. But anyway, it doesn't mean that I'm blaming Dak entirely, but this is what we've seen before. When he plays better teams, better defenses, and it's about him. This reminded me of the playoff game against the Rams. Remember? They stopped Ezekiel Elliott, and then all of a sudden Dak couldn't do it. And that's what, Chris, separates you from being a good quarterback who wins games and a great quarterback and an elite quarterback who, when you don't have your running game and when the defense isn't as good as it normally is and other things aren't working for you, sometimes, somehow, some way, you can pull it out and you can win that game. And that's what people are waiting for. That's why he doesn't have a deal signed with the Cowboys
yet. Oh, really? That's why?
That's the reason
that's why.
Yes.
So it's not because he wants $40 million?
No, that ain't it. I'm just telling you, if they really believed he was that guy, they would have signed him already. So there we are. And everybody saw it on national television for themselves. And right away I thought to myself, this is the Dak I was talking about. He's a day late and a dime short when that running game ain't running. So there you go. And now you tell me he's on a track to be elite after watching that garbage last night by Dak Prescott.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done.
You are the biggest prisoner of the moment at Fox Sports Radio.
What?
I can't believe you, Rob Parker.
Bigger than Jason Smith?
I can't believe you, Rob Parker, for as much as you throw that phrase out. Prisoner of the moment. You're a prisoner of the moment. I see you on Undisputed with Skip and Shay. You're a prisoner of the moment. You come with me. You're a prisoner of the moment. Look at you. One game. Has Aaron Rodgers been superb every game this season? Heck, Tom Brady was garbage yesterday. But it happens. Patrick Mahomes, yeah, he threw for a ton of yardage. They got the win, but no touchdowns. So now he's not on track to greatness?
Is he still the greatest quarterback ever? Is he still?
He's the greatest quarterback in the league.
He got skunked by the Lions. They skunked him.
What? There's a short menu, Rob Parker. There's a short menu. And he got that menu done with the W. I'm sorry. Look, if this was Dak Prescott's rookie year, even maybe his second year, and you could say, oh, he beat the Giants, 400 yards, 4 TDs. Look what he beat Washington, which is hapless. He beat Miami, which is hopeless. Then I could get with you. But no, we have a resume with Dak. We have 3.5 years of Dak. We know what this guy is made of. He was 10-6 as a rookie. He was 9-7 the year after that with Ezekiel Elliott out for 6 games.
Did they make the playoffs?
He was 13-3 the year before that. I mean, 13-3 as a rookie, 10-6 last year. And he's made the playoffs twice. And then ever since he got a number one receiver, a legitimate number one, Amari Cooper, who, yes, was blanketed yesterday. Marcus Lattimore took him out of the game. Excellent defense by New Orleans. But ever since they've given him Amari Cooper, you know what Dak's record is? It's 10-3. And in those 10 victories are 2 against the Philadelphia Eagles, 1 against the New Orleans Saints with Drew Brees, and 1 over the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. So, yeah, they lost to a team that was good but hindered yesterday. But the track record still stands.
No, but
you are being a total prisoner of the moment.
I'm not.
And I'm giving you 3.5 years of production.
It's about what you've done for me. It's for what you've done for me lately. And I muted it out. What it tells me again is the numbers that he put up against all of were fraudulent. Because when he came up against a good defense, and then he loses to Teddy Bridgewater, backup quarterback, and the Saints won a game without even scoring a touchdown. That couldn't even beat a team that couldn't even score a touchdown against the Cowboys.
So is Ezekiel Elliott no good anymore? No, he only had 35 yards?
They stopped him, and I'm just saying, that's when I need my quarterback to be able to beat the team because I don't have the running game.
How about when that's my quarterback might not be on his A game? I need my running back, my best in the NFL running back.
We
just gave $15 million a year to run the ball.
This is the problem, is that sometimes you need your quarterback to rally the troops, to make it happen. There was a throw in there during the comeback to Cobb. That was offline. If he hit Cobb in stride, it could have broke for something. Instead, it was behind him. Those are the throws.
Cobb should have caught that, though.
Was that not behind him?
No, it was a bad pass. It was behind him.
Okay.
But it was catchable.
But I'm
not going to sit here and act like Dak was tremendous.
Okay.
He wasn't. But I am going to say I still think he is en route to becoming an elite quarterback. Not a top five guy, but an elite quarterback that you can win championships with. And be, you know, not just a game manager, not Trent Dilfer, I'm not even going to say Joe Flacco, but be better than that. He can be that. And I saw nothing yesterday to discourage me from that viewpoint.
All
and
I'm
you
saying,
didn't either. You're
I
just
did.
Trying to make trouble.
I've seen it
You're
again.
You're trying to get on the Cowboys bulletin board
no,
like
I'm
you
not,
were in New England. You love that.
I'm
you
not doing
that.
It. All I'm saying
then
is
you can go to your houses of ill repute and say, look, honey, I'm in the New England Patriots locker room.
Hey, if the Cowboys want to put me on their highlight reel, they could do the same thing. I'm good for that. All I'm saying is all those yards and points and all that stuff that he did against those also-Rams, I would have loved. If he would have come out and thrown the ball and beat the Saints, and then you'd say the first 3 weeks were against dog poo-poo or whatever you want to call it.
Oh,
and
the
then,
Giants are rolling.
And then, okay, if you think so. Against the Washington Redskins? Stop
they're
it.
They're 2-2.
Stop. I'm talking
they
about.
They got the same they record beat as Tampa, your Philadelphia Eagles
they beat
that you
Tampa
love.
Bay and they beat the Redskins.
Tampa
everybody,
Bay
everybody,
waylaid the every, Rams yesterday.
Everybody beats the Redskins, okay? So I'm not even buying
you
into
that.
You
down on the Rams?
The Rams, they also had a choke job.
It happens. happens. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Stop being a poem.
The Rams been to the Super Bowl,
prisoner
though.
Of the moment.
Not the Cowboys. And until they get
it?
There.
Did they win it?
Did they go?
It's a short menu.
Did they go?
The Buffalo Bills went four straight times.
Stop it. You keep ripping
Marv Levy. You won't give Marv Levy his credit.
What credit for what? For losing
four straight?
No,
but
for
losing. But you going to give the Rams quarterback credit for getting there once?
They got there. The Cowboys haven't gotten there. That's all I'm saying.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Let's bring in our man, the MLB insider here at Fox Sports and for the MLB Network, does a great job of covering the league, John Morosi. John, welcome to The Odd Couple.
What's up, Chris? Rob, how's it going, my friends? Love this time of year. We got the playoffs going on, and I tell you what, Michigan finally looked good offensively on Saturday.
Oh, stop it against Rutgers? Are you kidding me, John Paul?
I can't even give you that. I got a daughter.
One good day against the Scarlet Knights, and all is well, right?
Well, I'm hoping you're right, John, but I'm not too confident.
You know they call the Scarlet Knights the General Hospital of the Big Ten, because when you play them, everybody gets well.
Right. That's the truth. That is the truth. John, look, before we get to the playoffs, which, as you said, start tomorrow with the NL wild card, the home runs, 307 by the Twins, obliterated the record, 306 by the Yankees. Are people in baseball liking this? And I mean players, coach, managers, executives, you know, the league office, even the writers, like, does baseball like the fact that these homers are flying out of the park like they are?
Well, it's an excellent question, Chris. I think it depends on who you ask. I would say certainly the pitchers don't like it as a general rule. The hitters are fine with it. But on a deeper level, there is a sense in the game that around the people that care about it, and you're certainly talking about the right people, the players, and yes, indeed, the fans, the media, all of us who spend our lives around the sport, there is a concern about the way it's being played and how to make the game as close to its best version as we can, we collectively, those that care about the game. So to that end, MLB is working with an analysis scientifically this year on the issues pertaining to the ball and why it has not had the same amount of drag that it once did in terms of just how far it's traveling in the air. A lot of reasons potentially and factors for that. But it is something that MLB is looking at. I do think that there may be modifications made to the process that goes into making the ball next year based on that analysis. Because I think you're right that when the games get a little too high scoring, it certainly makes them longer. It takes them away from maybe the game that we all grew up following and loving. So I do think it's going to be a big topic. We'll certainly hear it discussed a lot, probably about 6 weeks from now at the general manager's meetings. But until then, the ball that we're seeing in the playoffs will be the same ball that we've had all season long. And so I would expect a lot of offense. And I think at one point in time in the last couple of years, there was some concern on the part of baseball about the lack of offense against bullpens. And that's why we saw the move made towards the three-batter minimum for relief pitching starting next year, if that, in fact, ends up being adopted. So there's been a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different conversation, Chris and Rob, about where the game is right now. And I do think that to use the word concerned is fair. There are people around the game on both sides, hitting and pitching, that are a little concerned about why the game is being played this way, and I do think we're going to have a pretty substantial reckoning along those lines during the winter.
John, let's turn to the NL wild card tomorrow, right? Nationals and Brewers, and I don't know. I think the Nationals are the scary team in the National League in the playoffs with their pitching. If I got one game, I want Scherzer on the mound, and the Brewers were unbelievable after losing Yelich, but I like the Nationals. Am I wrong too?
Well, Rob, it's a great point about how good their pitching rotation is and can be. They've got Scherzer lined up for tomorrow. They've got Patrick Corbin and Steven Strasburg waiting in relief. There is every reason to believe the Nationals win this game tomorrow. When you look at the teams in the field, the Brewers, of course, Yelich is out. Lorenzo Cain's been battling injury. Ryan Braun's been battling injury. It would represent a monumental, big picture upset if the Brewers win this game, I believe. I realize how great they've played over the last month, but the Nationals are simply the more talented team. All that being said, this is a Nationals team that has not won a playoff round since moving to our nation's capital. Even before then, when they were the Expos, they didn't really win and reach the championship series of the National League either. So, yes, it's just one game, and so it's not a full series, but to win a winner-take-all game at Nationals Park would represent a pretty big turnaround from where the Nationals have been as an organization. They have a history of underperforming in October.
No, let's just say they've choked so many times.
They have. They've had some years in there when they've had the best record in the National League, and they still have not advanced in the playoffs. So they've got to find a way to write a different script. They've got Max Scherzer on the mound. Again, Max reached the World Series with the Tigers, but has never won one. So there's a lot at stake there. I think when you consider the fact that Strasburg can opt out after this season, Anthony Rendon, MVP candidate, a free agent after this season, some legacies are at stake, I believe, in the National League Wild Card game tomorrow night.
John Morosi from MLB Network, Fox Sports, MLB Insider, joining the Odd Couple. John, how much pressure are the Dodgers feeling? Because, I mean, if they get to the World Series again and don't win it, it's just going to be like, I mean, obviously, it's just horrible. You know, and you keep going, and then it's not even a success anymore. It just looks bad. So are they feeling that?
They are, and they should. And the irony is, you would say in a normal situation, if a team gets that far and loses at that level multiple years in a row, is it the coach or in this sport is it the manager? And the answer there is no. Dave Roberts has done an exceptional job. He is one of the best communicators I have ever seen in covering sports. He's that good. I think we are seeing with the Dodgers a front office that fairly, I think it's not a bad idea to have this as your guiding principle, but they are all about sustainable success, incremental success year after year after year. And they've done a great job of keeping themselves in the playoffs every single year without ever falling back. That is an admirable achievement. But you want to have the ultimate prize, and they don't have one right now. And, oh, by the way, they're not a small market team. So they are facing, I believe, that reputation if they don't win it this year of not being able to win the big one. And I don't know, though, when you've proceeded with the club in the way they have, that the answer is going to be to go out there and sign your biggest free agent, because they've just done a really good job of incrementally building the club very well with a lot of depth. But the one weakness in recent Octobers has been the bullpen.
And
Kenley Jansen is probably the most scrutinized player in the game entering these playoffs. He has been better in September. They actually have a pretty good bullpen all the way around. But, again, if he all of a sudden falters early on in a playoff series, there is going to be immense pressure on Dave Roberts to move away from him as closer and install anybody else in that role, whether it's another reliever or move a starter there. And that is a very difficult atmosphere in which to begin a playoff series when you are that close to the brink of one blown save away from panic. And I think Dodger fans would feel that way. If they lose one of the first couple games of a series on a blown save by Jansen, the panic of the Dodger fans will be palpable to all of you who are living in Los Angeles. They know that's the case. And it's maybe not fair, but that's the way it is because of what's happened the last two postseasons. So you're exactly right. There's a lot of pressure there. There's pressure on the Nationals, but I think in some ways, guys, even more pressure on the Dodgers because it's a really hard thing to get to the World Series in three straight years and then lose it all of those times for a similar reason if, in fact, that's the case.
John, last thing. We got about a minute to go. Tell me why we shouldn't poo-poo the AL wild card. I know Oakland won 97 games and Tampa Bay won 96, but people look at this. This is by far the weakest as far as star power matchup of all the teams in the postseason. Why should we pay attention to this game?
It's going to be great baseball. It's going to be managed with urgency on both sides by two excellent managers. And so if you love drama and being able to second-guess a manager and make decisions, you tune into this game. The Rays have a very young group. Yes, maybe not a lot of superstars there, but they play a very exciting brand of baseball. And the A's, Matt Chapman is a highlight reel over at third base, very similar to Nolan Arenado. And by the way, they went to the same high school. Arenado and Chapman did, El Toro High School, Lake Forest, California. Same time, same team even. They were teammates in high school. Amazing. Two great players in the same position in the major leagues right now. And also with Oakland, I expect we're going to see Sean Manaea start that game, a dynamic lefty who has come back and has played phenomenally well since returning from injury. And remember this name, too. Late innings for the A's, Jesus Luzardo, amazing, dynamic, young rookie arm. He could be the Francisco Rodriguez of these playoffs.
All right,
John, great stuff, man.
We appreciate it,
and we'll get you back on during the playoffs at some point.
Love it, guys. I love talking baseball with you. And again, we'll check back on the Wolverines, too. They have a tough game against Iowa on Saturday. They could lose it very easily. And if they do that, then I will, much like the Dodger fans, I'll be panicking, too.
All right, then. You'll be panicking, John.
We'll see you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's start off with this, Chris. Give me your hot take for the baseball playoffs. Just something that, you know, will make people go scratch their head and go, what? Did Chris say that?
Well, there's a part of me saying Washington will get to the World
Series. Say that again? What was that?
A part of me saying Washington. Like, there's a part of me that wants to put the Nationals in the World Series.
Wow. That's a hot take.
Like that. But uh-oh, I'm not going there. I want to with all my heart, but
do
I
it.
Think the Dodgers will outlast them. And so I'm not going there. So what I'm going to go with as my hot take is that in the series with Minnesota, Aaron Judge will hit four home runs.
Wow. Four home
in
runs.
In that series. Yes.
That would be
I think he's going to light it up.
That's a hot take. All right, here we go. I'm sorry, Los Angeles. I know everybody thinks it's just destined that the Dodgers,
hell yeah,
with that roster, they won 106 games, that they're going to the World Series again. I don't believe in the bullpen, Chris. I'm saying the Dodgers will not and OT make it to the World Series for a third year in a row.
Mm.
I'm sorry. All right, can I give you
that is a hot take.
Can you give
I wanted to go there, but I can't.
All right, give me your surprise take. You got a surprise take for the MLB playoffs?
No.
All right.
I mean, I'm looking at my picks. I don't think I have any, like, real huge surprises.
I got
one. I'm just
going
to keep it real.
And I didn't steal it from you. But I think the Nationals will get to the World Series.
Mm.
I know you weren't ready for that.
I feel you. Right.
You weren't ready to make that claim. But, Chris, they have the pitching. They've had a good team for years.
Yep.
They've underachieved. They turned this thing around. You remember how bad they were when they started the season without Bryce Harper? Dave Martinez, the manager, was going to get fired.
They suck.
It was a disaster. They turned it around. The Nationals. I think if anybody can do it to dethrone the Dodgers in the National League, it can be them, Chris. You know what beats good hitting in the playoffs? Good pitching.
It would be a great story.
It would be a great story.
Here's the thing, though. Scherzer hasn't really been Scherzer in September.
No.
You know this.
I know it.
No, and a good amount of the postseason in general, he's not Scherzer. Am I wrong?
No, he hasn't
and
been.
And so that's where I'm a little skeptical. But you're right. I mean, they generally got good pitching, but I'm just not sure Scherzer's going to be the regular season ace that he always has been.
All right. I'm going to say that finally it's going to turn around for them in Strasburg and those guys. All right, Chris, give me your World Series pick and who wins how many games?
I have got Houston.
Hard to argue with them.
Beating the Yankees
wait a minute,
in the ALCS.
Oh, in the ALCS. I got you.
Yes,
okay.
In the ALCS. over the Dodgers. It's and again, it's hard for me to say they're going to be there three straight years and lose it three straight times. But Houston, that wrote that staff.
Right. And they got a lineup. Yep, they got
right. I mean, they've got it all. And here's the thing. When you look at Verlander and Cole and Greinke and all these guys, look at what they're doing in this juiced ball era, if I can call it that.
No, I got it.
Or at least this juice ball season. Like, that's how great they've been, that they're getting it done in this season where a lot of the balls are flying out of the park. So, I'm going with Houston over the Dodgers. I'm going to say it in seven.
Oh, that would be
awesome.
I think
it's going to be, yeah.
That's what it was the first time, right? Yep. Back in 2017.
I got them doing it again in seven.
All right. I'm going to, here we go. I got the Nationals advancing to the World Series, and they will play the New York freaking Yankees. Chris, I've been saying it all year on my podcast. The Yankees, despite all their injuries, everything, all they did was win. It was unbelievable. They won the injuries, other teams would have fallen off. So I'm going to go that the Yankees will beat the Astros in the ALCS, and it will be the New York Yankees over the Washington Nationals in the World Series. I just think if the Yankees can get their bats going and get some decent – and you know what the Yankees do when we talk about the Bronx Bombers, right?
Oh, yeah. And he hits a high drive to deep center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Monument Park. The Sanchino.
I got the Yankees in six games over the Nationals, and they win their first championship, Chris, since 2009.
Wow. Yankees. Well, they have had a great season. And if they could cap it with that, it would be something special.
Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Your boy hit me up on Twitter yesterday.
Who?
Patrick Mahomes.
My homeboy? Patrick Mahomeboy?
Yes. He liked something that I put out there.
It must have been positive, surprisingly.
No, it wasn't. It was just like I was asking a question. I said, after he went touchdownless against the woeful Lions, I said, is Patrick Mahomes still the greatest quarterback ever? ? I said, I'm asking for a friend. I didn't mention Chris Broussard, and I tagged you and him in it. And there was
he must have liked it because I was in it.
Is that what it was? He knows you're his biggest supporter.
No, I look,
but it was cool. I mean, he actually
that is cool.
He actually liked it.
That is cool. And here's what I've said since you obviously overstated it. Patrick Mahomes, I've said this on video, and I've said it here on the iCup, has the chance, the potential to become the GOAT. He's not there now. He's not the greatest. You can't say that. But he has the potential to become the GOAT. Two things need to happen. He's the number one, stay healthy, of course. And number two, win Super Bowl.
Yep.
Doesn't have to win six, but, you know, four,
you gotta
which is
win.
Not
you
a got, small
you,
thing.
Right.
But
you got to be like in a Joe Montana class to be
right,
in that conversation.
Right.
Because then Joe is better than you. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right,
if you can't get to four, it's hard for you to come up with anything else.
If he puts up all these great numbers, and there was an article today, you probably saw it, I can't remember where exactly it was, where a writer was predicting that he's going to throw for over 6,000 yards. It didn't come out today, but within the last week, a writer predicting he's going to throw for over 6,000 yards, which would be phenomenal. He was on that pace after 3 weeks. That's hard to fathom.
Yeah. Well, and the game
the record's like 5,400.
And the games change a lot where you do throw a lot more. So
but there's 6,
a chance. But no, I agree. I think If he does that, that would be incredible. Obviously, this game against the Lions hurt a little bit.
You know what? And I'll give – look, I'm starting to think Detroit is legit. Defensively, man, their defense is good, Rob.
Only problem
you
is,
can't
Chris,
buy in at all, huh?
I can't. You know why? I've seen –
because of Stafford?
I've just seen – this is the problem I have with the Lions. They should be 4-0, Chris. They should be. You remember they gave up that game to the Arizona. They remember they were up 24-6. That's a game you got to win. Rookie quarterback,
right? They should
bad
be.
Team.
I'd say they should be 3-1.
And I'm saying that they should have beat the Chiefs yesterday. They had them. They had them on the ropes.
They
Chris.
Had them. They had them on the ropes. But I'm not going to kill them. I mean, the Chiefs do this to everybody.
But this is what you got to do, though, if you want to get to that next level. You have to win a game like this. You're at home. You're matching every touchdown against them. You hold the best quarterback currently playing to no touchdowns, Chris, and you can't beat them at home. Do you see what I'm saying?
I hear you.
It's a wasted. I'm not saying the season's over. They're 3-0-1, right? They're 3-0-1.
2-1-1.
2-1-0.
2-1-1.
Right.
2-1-1.
But I'm saying, in order for you to make that next step, that was the game you should have won. You held them to no touchdowns. If I told you Patrick Mahomes had no touchdowns, there's no way you think they win that game.
Yeah, but you got to give him credit for holding him to no touchdowns.
I am, but it's not about
I'm
credit.
I'm just saying,
they
we'll,
gotta
see
win.
Once they, we'll see once they start playing division games.
Well, we'll see.
Because that's a rugged division.
Right.
And they're right there in the mix right now.
Right. They're in the mix, but that was a
you're
game.
You're right. The Arizona game was terrible.
That's the game you can't give
right.
up.
That's the game.
If you
I agree
win that
with you
game,
there.
Chris, then you're 3, right? You're 3-1.
You're 3-1. Yeah.
And then you say, okay, through the first 4 weeks, you won. You only lost to the Chiefs. You can live with that.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm with you, but I was impressed because I thought they were going to be exposed, and Kansas City was going to run all over them. And here's the thing, I think, Rob, today's sports climate, and we're obviously a big part of it. But it was different when you and I were growing up and even early in our careers. But today's sports climate is so overreactionary.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be, you know, funny and criticize each other jokingly and say we're prisoner, you're a prisoner moment, he's a prisoner. None of that. I'm just saying we overreact. It happens in the NBA too. Where you treat a Tuesday night game in Utah in early January like it's the biggest thing in the world. You know, if LeBron misses a game winner or something, you know?
No, right.
And in football, we've got to understand, I mean, there's a reason only the Dolphins went, I mean, I guess New England obviously went undefeated in the regular season too. But you know what I mean? There's a reason only, even though there may be one team that's superior to everybody, they're not going to go undefeated in most cases.
No, they won't. And we
you're
going to
lose. You know, you might be a great team will be 11-5 or 12-4. That means you're going to lose 4 or 5 games to weaker opponents, or at least most of them to weaker opponents.
Well, this past week was unbelievable when you looked at Tampa Bay coming to L.A. and blowing.
Right.
I know that it made the game closer at the end, but to me, they blew out the
right.
Rams.
And that happens. Right. I mean, look, I'm not saying the Rams, they got some questions. I didn't think they make the playoffs, so you know I've got some questions about
but
them.
But they're 3-1.
But I mean, right. I mean, let's not throw them out because they had a bad Sunday. It happens. All these teams are really good, good players.
Patriots could have lost.
Easily could have lost that game. I mean, look, Buffalo outplayed them.
They did. They should have won
Buffalo
that game.
Buffalo outplayed New England through the air and on the ground. And I'm not just going by the yardage, but you just watched it.
Right. I agree.
They ran all over them, and New England couldn't move the football.
Could not move. Tom Brady, what do you have, 150 yards, no touchdowns.
Didn't even look like that many, you
no,
know?
No, and a pick in the end zone. And what was it? Buffalo had a chance, and they just couldn't get there.
No, they definitely did.
They had a chance
and, you know,
to win
I mean,
game.
Josh Allen was out, although Barkley did okay. Matt Barkley came in.
If Josh Allen played, okay. They might have beaten them.
Right. But that, you know, so I'm just saying that, you know, this happens, and it's our climate now. You know, when you didn't have sports talk radio and
the,
sports
and
talk
shows,
TV.
And
yeah,
debate
I mean,
shows. We didn't
right,
have that.
Right, we didn't react as strongly. Oh, okay, they lost. They, you know, they'll bounce back.
Because we had but to wait. Because we had to wait for the paper to come out.
Right, right. You know, no, really. You know,
we did.
You're absolutely right. So, and SportsCenter ran like seven times a day.
Exactly. think about that. That
right.
wasn't that long ago, Chris.
No. That's what I said. Beginning of our career. So things are different, but you know, that's just the climate we're in. And things. Speaking of different things being different, Rob.
Yep.
Vontaze Burfict. Now, you saw this now, suspended for the entire season for a helmet-to-helmet hit on one of the players from the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. And I look, some people are saying it's gone overboard and he's certainly going to appeal, and he should. But I'm fine with it. I mean, it's harsh. The rest of the season, going to cost him over $1 million. He signed for a $2 million deal. But if you look at that hit, Rob, I mean, I don't know if it was a tight end. Vince, give me a little help. Was it the tight end who caught the ball for the Colts? And he caught it like on the ground. He was on his knees. So he's kind of – nobody had touched him. So he's getting up. And Burfict just flies in with his helmet. And it's a helmet-to-helmet hit. Clearly an egregious foul. A no-no in today's NFL. And they're throwing him out for the rest of the season. And like I said, here's why I'm with it, Rob.
I was going to say, can you hear
go
me
ahead,
applaud,
go ahead.
Applauding?
Yeah. Now go ahead and give your
– I'm serious. Let me just say this.
I know you like it because you don't even like them tackling each other.
I just want to – you got to be careful with the with the health of the players. You can't have a reckless guy with a rap sheet, Chris, keep doing the same thing. He's been warned.
Right.
He's been suspended. He's been chastised. You can't keep doing it. And not only the NFL, but the Players Association should agree with it.
You're right.
You can't have your membership getting hurt.
Yep.
Have a guy reckless doing stuff that could hurt membership. No.
It's already dangerous enough
within
the rules.
Absolutely.
And you said it. Look, last year he was suspended for four games.
Yes.
Four games last year for PEDs. Okay, but the year before that, 2017, four games for an illegal hit. 2016, he got three or four games for a similar type situation, dirty hit. And I think the NFL rightly is like, look, if we just suspend him four games, he's not learning his lesson.
And Chris,
this is something that will teach him his lesson, and I think it'll spread to other players as well.
Right. Here's the thing. If you're the league – and you just give him, like you say, a three or four game suspension, he comes back and seriously hurts somebody, people are going to say,
right,
this dude had told you, he showed you over and over and over that he wouldn't play by the rules and you still let him play.
Yep.
I think what they did, I know it seems harsh, Chris, you know, to be out the whole year, but this is not like they did it on his first offense. He's had more than enough opportunity to correct your game.
No doubt.
To
no
be
doubt.
More careful, to understand. It's like you said, it's already a violent game if you play by the rules.
No, you're right. And he may be done. He may be done. Here's the thing with Burfict. It goes back to high school. Now, high school, there were allegations that he was dirty. Then he gets to college at Arizona State. And even not only games, but in practice, they're saying he's dirty.
I've heard some things about some players. I'm not even going to get to the name of them. But when I was in Detroit, they said that they had a teammate who tried to hurt other players during practice, Chris, your
that's
own
crazy.
Teammates.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. And that's why I remember Burfict wasn't drafted. He's a good, really good player. But he wasn't drafted because of his dirty reputation. And obviously with the Bengals, I mean, you saw all types of stuff that he's done. We went over a little bit of it. So I just, look, he's got the track record. And another player, if they had done that and they didn't have his resume, they wouldn't have been suspended the entire season. But I think in this case, it's justified. Here's the interesting thing too, Rob. We talked about when we grew up. I mean, Burfict would have fit right in.
Oh, it was a different
time. In the 70s. Dude. Jack Lambert, before us, even Dick Butkus.
All those guys.
I mean, that's how they were laying people out.
And don't forget, Daryl Stingley
yes.
was paralyzed from a hit in a football game.
Jack Tatum.
Some guy, right. Guys died on the football game at some game. So it was a totally different game. And it's a miracle that Moore didn't, suffer.
And
seriously.
They went
but
out
guys,
to do that. Right, you're right. It is a miracle.
It is.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.